This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Pirates lose yesterday, 18-4. Yadier Molina, he pitched an inning, gave up four runs. Fan headlines powered by Bowser Chevrolet, your Pittsburgh Chevy headquarters.
Good morning, Pittsburgh.
Oh, good morning. Good morning to everyone. Happy Monday. Time right now, 6:01. Brought to you by Gutter Helmet. Never clean your gutters again. With Gutter Helmet, we get moving on this Monday. Colin Dunlap, Chris Mack, Doran Dickerson, Adam Crowley, and we push forward. Why don't you text us, Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Over the weekend, big doings for the Pittsburgh Penguins that we start with. Brian Rust, he's 30. He's going to be here until he's 36, or at least that's the design. Six-year, $30.75 million contract. Rusty.
It's cool. I think it's a lot of pride comes with being able to say you played with one organization for most, if not all, of your career. And I think that definitely played into a little bit of a factor when I'm making this decision, obviously. My family and what's best for them was kind of at the forefront. But those little things are always in the back of your mind, too.
Okay. I am, and we'll go around and talk about this some, and we'll also talk about the impact on general manager Ron Hextall. I am hot and cold. I'm hot on it because, obviously, that top line is something that makes the Penguins go. And sometimes they're too one-lined or too singularly lined, but that line is very good. And Gensel likes him, and most importantly, Sid likes him. So there you are. 6 years is a lot for any player, especially a 30-year-old player. That being said, I really think it's a 4 or 5 year contract at most, and the market bears and players bear and their agents bear that's what you have to give them. I'm not lights out about 6 years in the term, but it's the cost of doing business in this current NHL and in Major League Baseball for that matter. You often overpay in term, and you kind of get a bit of a value money-wise, and that's where we are. Do I think Brian Rust will be effective at 36? Probably not. Do I think he'll be effective at 34? Yes, and so you go ahead and you overpay.
Yeah, I'm willing to give an extra year or two on this thing in order to get the discount that it ended up being on an average annual value, barely over $5 million a year. Yes, I'll take that because it gives me a little more wiggle room to fill out the rest of the roster and opens the door to, if they're interested in doing so, maybe taking a run at both Letang and Malkin. I don't know how realistic that is. I don't know if they're interested in having both of those guys back. I would imagine they would be, but if they are and they think maybe the $1.5 million, $2 million they saved per year on this Rust deal helped them lure at least one, if not both of those guys back in, then hey, good work on you, Ron Hextall.
I think this was absolutely necessary. I think this deal should have been the first deal out of the free agents that, you know, are out there. Obviously, Raquel, and you just mentioned Malkin and Letang. I think this was so crucial for them to start heading in the right direction. Yeah, 6 years is a long time, and, you know, playing at 36 years old and playing at a high level is going to be tough, but he's a guy, I mean, he's so versatile. The things he does, you know, on the ice whenever he's there and the things he brings to the table, I think, is going to help the Penguins head into the right direction. But, I mean, is Malkin – do we really need to have this conversation about Malkin? Like, is he really still serviceable, or is this like something that we're enamored by because he's such a high level player and has been here for so long and such a big name at Pittsburgh?
I don't think he's not great 5-on-5, and I wouldn't re-sign him. I think that Evgeny Malkin thinks he's better than what he is, but to think that Evgeny Malkin isn't serviceable, I think, is a bit of a stretch.
Okay.
I think he's very good, but his value and what he's going to demand probably outweighs what his exact talents are at this point. For me, what it brings into focus, Adam, is this. that with the cap going up in a couple years and it will still continue to go up, with a guy like you might – obviously would have to part with a guy like Raquel or something like that and do some – maybe some moving money around goaltender-wise, you could still get Letang. You can get Letang and Rust. That can happen for you.
Yeah, and it couldn't if an evolving hockey had him projected as $7-plus million per year. You couldn't have Letang if you're going to give Brian Rust a double on his salary because he was making 3.5. It just wasn't going to happen. And if there's one guy out of those three who was going to take a discount, it was going to be Brian Rust. I don't think Malkin's going to make the 9.5 that he was making before wherever he goes. I really don't think that. But the guy that you could carve into a little bit, I thought, was Brian Rust. I can't believe he actually did it, if he could be making $7-7.5 million. But this sets up everything else they want to do this offseason. And if he was making 7-plus, it wouldn't have.
I wonder if he could make 7 or 7.5 after the playoffs that he had. He did not have a great playoff. I wonder if his value was overvalued a little bit, if he really could have got that 7.5. I don't know.
7.5 might be pushing it, but I could definitely see on the open market somebody who feels like they need that top six scoring winger and a guy who can play two ways, give you some penalty kill as well, would be willing to throw 7 at him. But which makes the fact that they got him just over 5 that much more impressive and tells you exactly where Ron Hextall is in this organization right now, right? Like, you don't let a guy who's about to get fired or shoved out the side door while everybody's watching the front door signs a 30-year-old to a 6-year contract extension. At least I don't think so.
I would think, but I don't know that as fact. You know, if you identify the talent as Brian Rust and you like him, and let's say Mike Sullivan likes him, and that was part of the negotiation. Look, I do think it probably bodes well for Ron Hextall, but if Ron Hextall was fired in the next couple days, or if the new ownership group didn't like him and they parted ways with him, it wouldn't stun me. I don't think that you tie someone's future to a guy like Brian Rust, whether or not Brian Rust is here.
Yeah, for me, it's not tying it to the player necessarily. It's, again, in generalities, you let him sign a 30-year-old dude to a 6-year-long contract extension.
You also let him sign Jeff Carter, too, though.
Right, yeah, and we could question the how much sense it made.
I look at this as, and I think that's a good point by you, Colin, that you, if Ron Hextall submitted that dissertation, right, in the written form that he was asked to do, Brian Rust's name is going to be on that, no question about it, as are Letang and Malkin's. If the organization, the new ownership, looked at Brian Rust and said, we want him part of this regardless of who our general manager is, then this would have no bearing on Hextall.
Say that they do find a way to sign Malkin and Letang, and obviously they just signed Rust.
They can't.
But say they find a way, and they're going to try, right? Are they not? They're going to try. I mean, right? These are guys that they somewhat want to bring back. But say they do find a way, aren't they right back in the situation they are right now?
But I just don't think it's mathematically possible now that you, to sign both Letang and Malkin now that you've signed Rust. I don't think it's mathematically possible. I don't know. I'm not one of these cap gurus, but I don't think you can.
I think you can do it, but you're hamstringing your efforts in, I think the greater point to what you just mentioned, Doran, is, you know, we talked all year about secondary scoring and who's going to provide the punch outside of the first line and who's going to get you, or outside the power play, right? And if you commit to bringing both Malkin and Letang back at what you're going to have to sign them at, you're essentially saying I don't want to call it dumpster diving. It's disrespectful to guys like Evan Rodriguez and people. But you're going to have to go out and find bargains to fill out the bottom two lines. And maybe even fill out that other wing on the second line. And it just, it's not, this is how, if you give Malkin and Letang the kind of contracts I think they want in order to stay around, this is how you end up going down the Blackhawks and Kings path.
Yeah, it is. It is definitely. There's maneuvering that needs to happen, and I'll tell you what: a story that isn't being talked enough about in Penguinville right now is what you're doing with the goalie and what you're doing with the backup goalie, because they have goalie problems, I think, right now.
Well, it's been what's knocked them out of the playoffs the last
Correct.
2 years. Mm-hmm.
They have gigantic goalie problems. Fan Hotline, hit us there. Presented by Nemecolon. Around every corner, Nemecolon creates real-life magic for guests. So much going on in the five this hour. We have an etiquette question about what time you can do something. You're not going to want to miss that. But there's a lot of scuttlebutt, right, about the PGA and about what just happened this weekend. Zalatoris and then some other guy. What was the guy's name that was in the lead going into the
Pereira,
last day?
Pereira.
Yeah,
Pereira.
Him. All these people, right? JT wins another one. I tried. I really did try. And I've told people before, I really like watching the British, the Open Championship, because of everything that you see and the different landscape, and they go into the towns and do the vignettes and the features and whatever. And the U.S. Open is good and it's fun and it is what it is. Like the PGA and the Masters, I tried with the PGA again. And I'll give you one example, the biggest example as to why it sucked. I don't care that there was this great three-hole aggregate playoff, whatever. So I gave it a chance yesterday, and it had just – I think it had started to rain outside, so I'm like, I don't feel bad about not being outside. I'm watching the television. And keep... This Zalatoris guy, right, who seems to be somebody that you can rally around, mm-hmm. seems to be a good guy to root for, I guess. So he hits a ball into these hedges on number six, okay? And the people talk about baseball being archaic and caught in the past mm-hmm. and everything. My man hits the ball into these hedges off to the left. There is a camera tower there. There's also a cart path. So I'm not kidding. This took between 15 and 20 minutes to hit the next shot. It goes under the bushes. So he's got to get a rules official, and he goes, well, so, sir. And this is just the way that you do it in terms of the official way of the game. Now, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take an unplayable. And then, okay, you get a club length or two club lengths. So, naturally, you're going to get your longest club. You're not going to get your putter or your pitching wedge. I'd like my driver. Okay, so that gives – then you drop. Well, if I drop here, it's going to hit the cart path because it's cement and it's going to roll away. Okay, now you need to mark it. But I can't put a tee into the cement. Okay, put your tee sideways. That's what you need to do, the official protocol. I drop it. It bounces away. Okay, so you get another club length. All right, well, it's not you need to drop it twice. You have to drop it twice because the one time could have been a mistake or your hand could have skewed around a little bit. So he drops it again. Then he sets. Now you need to place it. But now that we're on a cart path, you get to choose. Do you want to go no nearer the hole, as far back as you'd like in the flight path of the ball? But that would be in the hedges. So do you want to measure it? We're 18 minutes into this freaking thing. These guys are back on the tee box waiting. Why couldn't there be, look at this situation, as the guy that is working for the PGA, and just logic prevail and go, yeah, you don't want to hit it there? Pull it out, put it over there. Let's go.
Yeah.
I don't
like any
need
of us
that.
Would do.
Correct. Yeah. I understand the rules and the protocol and all that. I don't need 17 minutes for one shot. I don't need it.
The rules and the protocol are one thing, but let's not forget what's on the line here. Like, there's a lot of money on the line. So if I'm Zalatoris and the rules guy, I want to make sure that I get the right exact shot because it could cost me millions of dollars.
No, I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm saying, why do they make him go through all that shenanigans and rigmarole? And I'm sitting there, and they are going blow by blow on it, on the play-by-play. It is why people – you talk about baseball being too slow. And then my man on a tee box waits and hits it in the water because he's fed up.
If you can call a timeout in basketball and advance the ball at the end of a game – why can't you just put your hands up if you're Zalatoris and say, hey, here's my timeout. Yeah. You could put the ball in the right spot. Let's go.
Right. I don't need to
keep
take my club out. And then do you have to take the head cover off or not? Yes. Oh, okay. And he lay it down on the ground. And then he hit an unbelievable shot off of the cart path.
Yes. It was a great tactic, though, if the guy in front of him hit into the water.
Yes.
He got a stroke.
I think the bigger takeaway is that all of the drama in this weekend's tournament – you could have encapsulated it. You could have turned it on when Justin Thomas got to the 18th hole, which is what I did, right after, I think it was the Carolina-New York hockey game, and I got everything I needed to see. That was the problem with
really?
This weekend. I got everything I needed
that
to
is, see
like, in the last
Justin Thomas,
4 to 7 holes.
Justin Thomas was 1.2% chance heading into yesterday to win. His round was unbelievable.
It was fantastic. It was fantastic. But I didn't have to sit there and watch along with it every single shot of the way. I appreciate, hey, those of you that did, more power to you. You are a bigger golf fan than I. But, like, I got everything I needed in the last couple holes of regulation, I guess you want to call it, and then the playoff.
It's too slow. It's all too slow. Make it go. I get the protocols, but this isn't old Tom Morris or what the hell that you need to measure it from. And I don't live in Carnoustie. Make it go. Make it go. I'm yelling at the TV the whole time. And this Zalatoris, he was even like, so I got to say. Then he has a white tee and then a black tee and he's putting. Hey, guy, put it there.
Pick the ball up, put it in the grass, and hit it.
And it ended up being where everybody knew it would be anyway.
Yes.
You knew that's where he was going to have to hit the shot from.
Right.
Anyhow.
Common sense needs to prevail.
It never does in golf.
It's not like when you're watching the Boston Celtics come back against the Heat, and every shot that's getting made, the crowd's going nuts, and this is wildly entertaining.
Right.
No time for that comeback yesterday. Flipped on the playoff. Golf sucks.
By
the
way, something that no one will talk about, the best game all weekend by far was the Friday night Golden State and Dallas game when Dallas got up big and Golden State came back. They were down 18. Everybody was hitting threes from Golden State.
Everybody. They were lights out.
And Luka just stopped driving.
And he had like 42 or 44. They couldn't stop him.
Nope.
They couldn't. And he stopped going to the bucket.
Nope.
That was the best game I've seen maybe all year in the NBA. It was incredible.
Miami-Boston Saturday night wasn't too shabby either.
Mm-hmm. It was unbelievable. All right, Get Money coming up in just a couple minutes. Brian Bacco, he covers the Steelers for the Post-Gazette. He joins coming up at 8 o'clock. Twitter, hit us there. It's brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge, Jeep Ram and Peters, or visit them online at southhillsjeep.com. And visit Duncan. Do that, right? Hey, Pittsburgh, May 25th, that is Wednesday. It's Dunkin' Iced Coffee Day. This year, Dunkin' Iced Coffee working twice as hard.
Yeah, because Wednesday, you purchase any size iced coffee at Dunkin' to both fuel your day and donate a dollar to the Dunkin' Joy and Childhood Foundation. They've been bringing joy to kids battling illness in local hospitals for a while now, and they want to continue doing so with your help. Again, Wednesday, May 25th, Dunkin' Iced Coffee Day. You know how we do it here on the Fan Morning Show, the official coffee of the Fan Morning Show. Pittsburgh runs on Dunkin'.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Come Clean, brought to you by GetGo. We are the Fan Morning Show presented by Matt Mertz Plumbing, now part of the Armstrong Comfort Solutions family. I'm still blown away by that pre-show story, Crowley, about your father-in-law. Your father-in-law? Is that who that was?
It is my
grandfather-in-law. Yes, your wife's grandfather.
Yes.
That rode the bus from Mitchell's Fish Market every day after he worked for 30 years. And he got tired of people looking at him. They smelled like fish, so he just would take a fish and hold it out and just would carry a fish and say, it's a fish that smells.
Hey, it's a fish that smells, not me. It's a fish. It's not me.
This is incredible.
That's all I have.
It's
very limited.
No ice, though?
No ice, just a fish in a newspaper, old school as it gets, blood dripping off of it. Disgusting.
Did he eat it?
Oh, of course.
Then he took it home and ate it, yeah.
Oh, I mean, you know how he hangs goats from his cellar in the basement.
So he was like a legitimate fishmonger.
Yes.
Like he'd be a fishmonger.
Yes. The best was the seven fishes the one year the power went out at Mitchell's.
Yes.
So he got to bring home all the lobster that died. And so it was the greatest lobster bisque of all time.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. No guilt from that guy about killing the lobster. No.
No.
No, he's good. All right. Let's go. Get money. Come on.
Get money. Get money. Get money.
All right. Get money. Get money. Get money. Get money. I'll give you my bet straight away. Here we are. So it'll be tomorrow night. It's already 3-0 Golden State. They're up in this series. There have been a bunch of blowouts in the NBA playoffs, but that game two was a really good game where they just trudged all the way back. They're dogs, half-point dogs. It's pretty much a push game. Dallas is done. Dallas is already making summer plans. Bet Golden State just for the sake of a sweep. No team in NBA history has ever come back from 3-0, so Dallas isn't coming back, but they're not even going to win one game. Bet Golden State. Let's go. Sweep, 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 sweep. So take Golden State.
I like Steven Stamkos to score a goal tonight. It's pretty peculiar that there's a back-to-back playoff game. Stamkos scored two goals yesterday. He's plus 156 tonight over on goals. So Steven Stamkos to score a goal and Tampa Bay will close the series out.
Sweep, sweep, sweep.
Sweep, sweep, sweep again.
All right, I go baseball. I go under on the first half between the Blue Jays and the Cardinals. Let me tell you why. Jose Berríos against Miles Michaelis. Michaelis, you know, hasn't given up more than two earned runs in any single start this year. Berríos had a rough start to the year. The first couple starts of May were somewhat ugly as well, but he bounced back. Scoreless 7-inning start last week against the Mariners. So he seems to be back on track, and it's 4.5, I believe, is the posted total for the first half of this game. So take the under Blue Jays Cardinals first half.
All right. Get money, get money, get money, get money. I got something I got to get rid of, but it's going to be a big, long freaking process, I have a feeling, and I'll tell you what that is before the hour's out. Also, speaking of process, what time can you get some processes going? On the weekend mornings in particular, we'll ask you that question. And everybody's gonna have an opinion on that. Because if you get going too early, you make everyone mad. We'll tell you what that is before the hour's out. The five in just a couple minutes right here on the Fan Morning Show. But first, I tell you about this. It was hot, right? Armstrong Comfort Solutions is there. If your air conditioner's not kicking right, it's not making that cold air that you need, Armstrong Comfort Solutions is the one call. And listen, maybe you got that tax return that's here. Well, you got to make sure you spend it on the right thing, and spending it on cold air in your house is, well, the right thing. Armstrong Comfort Solution, they carry all the leading industry brands. They can customize a solution that meets the specific needs of your home and your budget. Get in touch today. They're going to beat any competitor's written quote to ensure that the best deal is made for you. Call Armstrong Comfort Solutions or visit armstrongcomfort.com.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
All right, Adam, what do you got, my man?
Well, we addressed this a little bit before, but does the Brian Rust extension mean that Ron Hextall will be back in 2022, 2023?
I think if you're Ron Hextall, you use that as a bargaining chip if they come and they sit down with you and they say, so, Mr. Hextall, what can you do for us moving forward? Well, what can I do for you moving forward? Well, let me give you an example of what I just done for you. I helped secure the services of a man that Sidney Crosby wants to play with, and I've done that for 6 years. So there you go. So I don't think it can hurt if he's trying to pound the table for his own job.
Yeah, I agree. You know, in the way they approached this negotiation, I think it was a fantastic deal. I said this earlier, you know, this is the right move and heading in the right direction at the right time. So I believe that Hextall will be back, and I think that he'll put some other pieces to the table here.
Yeah, I mean, this tells you all you need to know about whether the Penguins were going to rebuild at all. They're bringing back one of Sidney Crosby's line mates. Rust and Guentzel will be together for at least the next 2 years, if not longer. That tells you that Ron Hextall, whether it was a part of his big written plan that he had to hand in to Fenway Sports Group earlier this year or not, has decided, oh, Fenway likes to win? Well, let's try to win some more and put the band back together as much as we can.
There's another number after five, and it's what? Oh, it is, if you're in descending order. Yes, so let's go.
Does this mean that either Malkin or Letang will be back, or I'll rephrase it this way?
What's this? Define this, sir.
This Brian Rust contract.
All right.
Does it make you more confident that one of these guys will be back? Does it change your opinion now that you've seen the terms on the Rust deal?
I've always thought that they could do Rust and one of those two guys, and I honestly do think that Chris Letang will be back. I've been wrong about a million things, and it's all just conjecture and a guess, and that's what we do a lot in our job. But I've said from day one they could do Rust contract and one of those two guys, and I still think it'll be Letang.
I absolutely think this has nothing to do with anybody else but Brian Rust. This contract doesn't have anything to do with whether they're going to bring back Letang, whether they're going to bring back Malkin. They take it one player at a time. Everybody's different. Every negotiation is different. This has nothing to do, or we shouldn't read into this and them bringing back other guys because they signed Rust to a six-year deal.
But see, Dorn, I disagree somewhat in that I think it does telegraph exactly what they want to do going forward and that they don't want to rebuild. And I think that means they're going to do all they can financially feasible to keep both of those guys around. And I think, yes, it's going to lead us down the path eventually of the Blackhawks and the Kings, but I think Fenway doesn't care. Fenway and the Penguins, everybody in that building, down to and including Sidney Crosby, they want to win. They want to win now, and they see the best way, the shortest path forward towards winning is keeping the band together as much as possible. So I think they're going to do it, even if it hamstrings them to filling out the lower lines. I think they're going to try and bring both.
Well, that hasn't worked in the past couple of years. So.
Nope, it hasn't.
Number three.
Mm-hmm. If Stefan Tuitt does not show up tomorrow, if he is not on the Steelers this season, does that change your perspective of how the Steelers handled their offseason?
Well, did they tip off that Stefan Tuitt won't be there by drafting the Leal character? I don't know. If he doesn't show up tomorrow, then I don't know what more they could have done to insulate themselves from Stefan Tuitt. Did you want them to I'll spin it this way. I'll answer a question with a question. Did people want them to take a defensive lineman in the first round? And if you can say yes, then that satisfactorily would answer the kind of the void with all of that.
I think Leal was an insurance policy,
right?
Just in case, you know, just in case Tuitt doesn't show up. I don't disagree with how they approach the offseason. And, you know, I mean, like we just said, them drafting Leal, and I'm telling you, he might be one of the best picks of this year's draft. I mean, he's a beast. I've watched some of his tape. He's going to be a factor on the defense, but it doesn't really change my opinion on how they approach the offseason, whether Stefan Tuitt comes back or not.
Yeah, to Colin's point, other than drafting a defensive lineman in the first round, I don't know how you any better insure yourself against Stefan Tuitt's possible absence than doing what they did. I mean, maybe going out and signing a free agent, but what was out there that would have made sense for them? I think they've done the best they can to try and move forward, not knowing exactly what's going to happen with Stefan Tuitt.
Number two.
Any problem with John Daly getting a cart for medical purposes and Tiger Woods not?
No. What did they give as the exact explanation for John Daly?
Knee arthritis, I think.
Yeah, and he requested it. Tiger Woods did not request a cart.
Right.
Well, then no. Yeah. But I do have a problem with for years we went over this Casey Martin situation, and then you have John Daly. John Daly got a cart because he ate himself and drank himself to that condition. I mean, that's why.
True.
Let's
that's
call
true.
It what it is. It is his
21 cigs and 12 Diet Cokes and
right.
six bags of M&Ms will put you in a golf cart.
God. His inability to, you know, conform with any sort of measures that I'm guessing his doctor told him to conform to. I mean, the guy, God love him, but he eats like a pig and drinks like he's out of his mind. So that puts you in a position to not be able to walk a golf course.
I don't have a problem with John Daly getting a cart. But if Tiger Woods would have gotten a cart and would have been in contention, there would have been a lot of uproar because they know John Daly's not going to win. Yeah, he was leading at one point in the early rounds, but they know he's not going to win the championship. So I have no problem with him getting a cart. Tiger Woods, on the other hand, I don't know. I think that people would be a little upset if Tiger Woods was able to ride around in a cart and was also playing some winning
golf. Walking, of course, is part of fatigue. Absolutely.
Right. Oh,
it's part of it.
It's tough. John Daly follows me on Twitter, which is real weird, too.
That is strange. Do you like peanut M&Ms? That might explain it. No, Tiger didn't request it, so I got no problem with it.
Number one.
Anything more embarrassing, more emasculating than getting blown out and having a position player pitch against you?
Well, they did score four runs off of that guy. but no, I would rather see a run rule in baseball than see position players pitch at the end of games. It's dumb. Nobody wants to do it, and people make fun of it. They got to the point where Albert Pujols went out and warmed up a pitcher.
Yeah.
No one wants it. No one wants it.
You don't think?
No.
I think it's kind of cool.
When you're on – look, when you're the team that's in that situation where you're up 18 to nothing and you're rolling your 39-year-old catcher out to the mound to throw some lollipops up there, it's all fun and games. Hey, everybody, look, we're having fun. Baseball's fun. And when you're the team on the receiving end of that, that's absolutely demoralizing. Mm. And it's not fun anymore at that point. It's not. It's embarrassing. And they should be. They should be embarrassed by that effort.
Yeah, it's bad. It all comes back to the players and who they got and how they got them and what players they have and where they're willing to spend money and not. I mean, it's that simple for me. All right, Twitter poll coming up in just a couple moments. And does this make the whole neighborhood mad? Or you just shrug your shoulders and you say, hey, it's my business. Wait till you hear about this quandary that somebody on our staff had. That's all coming up in just a couple minutes right here, Fan Morning Show. 6:48 on your Monday. Happy Monday. Getting the week started off right for a lot of people, I hope. Brian Bacco, 8 o'clock. Neil Walker, he joins at 9. He drove to and from the beach, even though I told him it was totally ridiculous. And now he enjoyed the beach trip, but I don't necessarily think he'll ever drive to and from the beach again. I was reminding him the whole week while he was at the beach because he texted me. He said, the drive down, it wasn't bad at all. And I just kept texting him, you're going to have to drive home.
Yep.
Have to drive home.
It's always the kicker.
Yes. So we'll talk to Neil at 9 o'clock. But why don't we get to our Twitter poll? Weekend Twitter poll. Thanks for all the votes, and we got a lot, so thank you so very much. At Fan Morning Show is where you can find it on, oddly enough, Twitter, because it's a Twitter poll. So that being said, the weekend Twitter poll was this. Are you mad at Jordan Addison? Yes, selfish move, or no, go get yours. 70.3% of you said, no, go get yours. 29.7% of the respondents say, yes, a selfish move. Today's daily Twitter poll, vote when you get an opportunity. Again, at Fan Morning Show. Do you think Ron Hextall will be the Penguins general manager to begin the 2022-2023 season? Simple yes or no. Again, 58.8% of you say yes. 41.2% of you say no, he will not be. So vote whenever you get a chance. Again, tell everybody to vote that you know. So there's that. Shelby Cassesi, who joined us on Thursday and Friday, she woke up and she was not happy on Saturday. This was not good. And she decided to tell the world about it, and rightly so. So good on her. This is Saturday. Where are we? I can't find it. Anyway, she tweeted out on Saturday, very early Saturday morning. Okay. recovering from 2 days getting up from the Fan Morning Show. And today's 7 a.m. wake-up call from my weed-whacking neighbor. So, that's where we start. 7 a.m. weed-whacking neighbor. What is... Now, every municipality, I'm guessing, has a threshold and a law. And if you really want the police to get involved, you can't. Nobody wants that. What is the accepted time? Like, if you were building a neighborhood, you're in charge of this neighborhood. You're the person that is constructing it and putting the rules in place. What's the accepted time on tools and weed whackers and stuff and lawnmowers and things like that?
9 a.m.
Yeah, 9.
9?
9. Easily 9.
For me, I mean, it was going to be 92 degrees. It was 92 degrees on Sunday. If I got to get up at 7 and take care of my business, I'm waking up at 7. 7 ain't that early. You're adults. You can handle it.
That makes you an inconsiderate neighbor, Adam.
See, 7 is a little... 7 is a little early. 9 to me is... I can split it at 8.
Yeah?
Yes.
That's fair. You know, if you wake me up at 8 by cutting your grass... And you're not going to wake me up because I'm dead to the world when I sleep, especially on the weekends. But if you wake me up at 8 o'clock by cutting your grass, I'm not going to get mad. I'm not going to get to the point where I tweet about it or I complain to someone. I'll just be like, oh, 8 o'clock, come on. And, you know, I'll roll back over and go back to sleep for another hour. But 7 o'clock? 7 o'clock is just inconsiderate.
It's all about me, baby.
It's not about waking me up. I have a 2-year-old. I have 3 kids, but I have a 2-year-old who's an absolute tornado throughout the day.
Right?
He doesn't stop. And whenever he goes to bed, it's like, all right, I can take a break.
Yeah.
And you know what? Sometimes he does sleep in. But if somebody wakes him up before he wakes up, I'm going to be upset.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, all right, the time has started that he is just going to be a tornado for the rest of the day. If somebody wakes him up too early, I'm going to be upset. 9 o'clock for me is the absolute threshold there.
Crowley brings up such a great point, though. Such a great point. It is dependent on the weather and the forecast, and especially, you know, how hot it's going to be that day, or if maybe there's a chance of rain that day at 11 o'clock. But the temperature is such a great, not barometer, that's the wrong word to use here, but an indicator on this. If you want to beat the heat, so to speak, beat the heat, Kevin Benson, he doesn't beat the heat anymore, though. Beat the heat, right? So if you want to do that, you get up early and get it done. I understand it, but 7 o'clock is much. Weed whacking, though. How long of a job is weed whacking? My man couldn't wait till 8?
You can wait to whack it.
Right. Maybe he had a little kid's baseball game or something like that, too. That
right. Everybody's schedules are different. I get it. Like, you know, one of the responses on Twitter I saw was something along the lines, well, you know, what if I work night shift? Should I ask everybody in my neighborhood to not do anything during the day because it might wake me up because I sleep in the middle of the day? I get what you're saying, but we're talking about the greater good here, right? We're talking about the neighborhood as a whole. You're trying to be nice to trying to be neighborly,
yeah, be
Crowley.
Be a teammate, Crowley. I mean, you could just tell that you weren't a good teammate.
If I'm pushing around a mower at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and it's 92 degrees, I'm telling you what, you're going to be a lot more upset with me then, the words coming out of my mouth with the sweat dripping down my brow, than you would be at me 65 degrees at 7 a.m. in the morning.
I have heard horror stories, though, of people that have, like, neighbors that – cut the grass at night or early in the morning.
We have some in our neighborhood. There have been summer nights before where it's been 9:30 and it's dark out and I hear people cutting their grass down the street. It's crazy.
See, I don't get that. I also don't get the guy that cuts his grass like 11 times a week.
Yeah.
You want it to look like PNC Park? Why do you do that?
You should see my neighbor's lawn. The people who just moved in a couple years ago. Looks like frickin' Augusta National.
Yeah.
Credit to him for all the work he's done on his lawn.
But what do you get out of that?
Satisfaction.
If your lawn doesn't look terrible, it looks good enough. That's my thought on it. If it doesn't look terrible, if it looks pretty good, it looks good enough.
Now, do you weed whack before you cut the grass or cut the grass then weed whack?
I pay somebody. I don't do any of it.
Cut the grass then weed whack.
That's the way to go.
Clean up what I missed with the mower.
There is a one-woman show that I pay. She is the best.
You're confused by this.
Yes.
Yeah, they're having two different conversations. This is fabulous. Wait, you weed whack?
Like, no, he said I cut the grass.
And then
you weed whack. And then you said I cleaned up the rest with the lawnmower.
Yeah, so for example, I can only get so close to the lamppost with the lawnmower, right? So once I cut the grass, I go back around the lamppost and the mailbox and the trees and all that with the weed whacker and clean it up.
You meant, okay, the clippings. I thought you meant you're going to cut the grass again and clean up the clippings. So You would cut the grass?
I clean up the edges.
I actually do like weed whacking, though. That is a fun therapy.
Satisfying.
You put earphones in, you put those goggles on, and just get after it. And, you know, you risk it. There's a certain amount of danger if you just wear shorts and you catch a flyer every once in a while.
Like
you
know, rock?
Yeah, you don't want to wear long pants because it's too damn hot. And if you wear shorts, you're just reminded you're alive sometimes, weed whacking.
The painful sting of a clean edge along the driveway, though, is too satisfying.
Well, you're reminded you're here.
It's like peeing in a urinal wearing shorts.
Oh, yeah.
Get the splash back.
Just here and there? Yeah.
Wait.
I'm still alive.
You ever see these jabronis, though?
My legs smell like pee.
You know what? I drove by somebody just the other day that was doing this. Somebody that is using the weed whacker on something that's clearly not a weed whacker job, where it's like up to their neck. Come on. The weed whacker isn't meant to do this. What about electric lawnmower? Do you like that?
I have an electric weed whacker.
And it goes into like a Black & Decker sort of thing, and
you
it plugs in.
The battery charger.
How about that job?
It's the best.
But do you know when it's about to run out?
I always charge it right after I'm done, so it's ready for the next round.
So you know,
it is the best.
Because apparently there's not an indicator, right? Where
there
shows,
is. There's yeah, there's like a 3-dot light.
You push the little button and it shows you how charged it is.
Gotcha. Okay.
The best I ever saw a dude with an electric lawnmower was on a hill in Bellevue. Using the cord to lower the mower down the hill and then pull it back up like it was a rope.
Oh, yeah. My grandfather used to do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a big move.
I love cutting the grass. It's my favorite thing to do.
Here's the thing. I don't mind it, right? But I have figured out through time that my time is more valuable, especially on the weekends, and it's affordable, the person that I get to do it. And also, it isn't the cutting of the grass. It is thinking about it all freaking day and the day before when I'm going to fit it in that makes me crazy, like straight jacket crazy. Yeah. Like, all right, and then looking at the weather 600 times. Am I going to do it between 12 and 1? Am I going to do it at 9? Should I get up? Should I miss this? I take that totally out of my thought process, and I pay this woman who is fabulous.
She does your landscape, right?
She does the landscaping.
She's
the
same lady.
One woman
show. Awesome.
Denise Possler. Wow. Nobody could beat her. She'll outwork three men. And crush them.
Wow.
And stand there and just laugh at them. She's that good. She crushes it. Yeah. But it takes that stress out of it.
How long does it take her? Have you ever timed
her? She has one of those things that she stands
on it.
Boom, boom, boom.
She whips around the yard in 5 minutes.
She does my neighbors,
probably.
Too. Yep. Yeah. So there's no divider. Vroom. She's done.
Quick.
See you later. Back up in her truck. See ya. Down the street.
She's winning. She's got it figured out.
And I'm keeping small business. In business.
Big time.
In female-owned business.
Love it.
Let's go.
You are doing it.
Yes.
Yes, you are.
Fan Weather, brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. For a great deal on a new or pre-owned vehicle, great service, too. You're going to find it at Sun Chevrolet.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.